This is the Art of Value Podcast. Discover value, create options, and start pricing. Artofvalue.com.
The series goes like this: clarity, competence, confidence. Now people are beginning to be influenced. Then you can impact them. Then you get income.
Welcome to the Art of Value Show. My name is Kirk Bowman, the visionary of value. This is the show where we discover value, create options, and start pricing. My guest on today's show is Carrie Overbrunner. I met Carrie at the Permission to Prosper conference in San Diego. He was one of the speakers, and he talked about his new book, Day Job to Dream Job. We're actually going to take our conversation back to his previous book, The Deeper Path. In that book, Carrie outlines three C's and three I's that he feels are necessary to not only find what you're meant to do, but to be able to do it. The majority of this episode, we're going to spend exploring the three C's: clarity, competence, and confidence. I asked Carrie to define those, and then we're going to go through a series of stories and illustrations of those three C's. If you struggle with the first step to value pricing, which is believing you create value, this is the episode for you to listen to. Before we get to the interview, a couple of announcements. I've got a couple of spots left in my Value Pricing Mastermind that'll be starting in June. We'll be meeting weekly as a group. You'll have a one-on-one coaching session with me, and you'll also have access to a private chat group where we can ask and answer questions of each other. This is $500 a month, and it requires a three-month commitment. The idea is that if you'll commit your summer, June, July, and August, to learning value pricing, you'll be ready to implement it for the fall business season. Second announcement, as always, please go to iTunes and leave us a rating and review. Go to artofvalue.com/iTunes. Now, let's go to the interview with Carrie.
Discover value, create options, and start pricing. Artofvalue.com.
Welcome to the Art of Value Show. Today, my guest is Carrie Overbrunner. Carrie left his day job to pursue his dream job, and based on that experience, he wrote his sixth book called Day Job to Dream Job. Because he has written six books, he now coaches authors. In fact, he's coached over 50 through a program called Author Academy Elite. His next event coming up in August is called Escaping Shawshank. It's an awesome event, and it's going to be done together with Dan Miller. His website is carrieoberbrunner.com. Welcome to the show, Carrie.
Hey, Kirk, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Carrie, you're welcome. I kind of want to just start by giving the audience a little background on how we met. We both attended an event in San Diego back in February put on by Ray Edwards called Permission to Prosper, and you were one of the speakers there. And when I heard you speak, I immediately knew I needed to have you on my show because I think your message resonates so well with kind of the theme of this show. And so to get started, I just want to ask you our first question that we ask every guest. What is the most important thing you can share about pricing?
I believe that pricing is a reflection of self-image. So look, no secrets, Kirk. Back in the day when I first started, way back when, I struggled with an addiction to self-injury, where if your listeners are like, what is that? I was so low in my self-image and my self-esteem that I actually felt like to be authentic, I needed to self-injure through cutting. And that's pretty low. I mean, that's pretty low. And if you would have came up to me back then 15 years ago, the way I saw myself, I would have absolutely thought I have no value to give. It's very interesting, Kirk, but one of my mentors says this: you will never outperform your own self-image. And I think you'll never outprice your own self-image. Maybe for your show, we can coin that term. So what does that mean? That means that if you see yourself as a 2 on a scale of a 1 to 10, you are not going to be comfortable charging higher prices. Why? Because guess what? Self-image is like a thermostat. And even if people say, well, hey, let me give you the value, the dollars that represent an 8 or a 9, you will not be comfortable with that. You will self-sabotage because you're not comfortable with the environment of an 8 or a 9. And so you will self-sabotage so you're comfortable with the results of a two or a three. This is the same reason why fantastic people marry non-fantastic spouses sometimes, because they are uncomfortable with someone who treats them well, because they grew up in an environment where their self-image was really low. So they actually marry someone who makes them feel comfortable rather than treats them what they're worth. Does that make sense, Kirk?
It makes total sense. It falls right in line with what I say is the first step to implementing value pricing. You've got to believe you create value. And you're talking about believing in yourself.
Absolutely.
When I heard you speak in San Diego, you outlined some things, and three of them I want to cover, that really kind of speak to this issue. And so I just want to kind of ask you to define these, and then we're going to go in a little bit depth on each one. The first one is clarity. What is clarity?
Clarity is essential. Clarity knows where you're going, what you value, what you represent. It's the accurate vision of yourself, your business. It's essential. And so many times people, the first thing they do before they even think about investing in you is they want to tell if you have clarity. Because anytime currency is exchanged in a pricing, in a business, what you're basically saying is, you know what, I'm choosing to follow where that person's going to lead me. Does that make sense? In other words, if I buy an Apple computer, I'm saying, you know what, I absolutely trust where Apple is going as a company. Now, if you don't have clarity in the beginning, before the relationship even starts, people say, they don't know where they're going. Why am I going to pay someone else to tell me where I need to go when they don't even know where they're going? So clarity is kind of like, it's kind of like the first step, but it's needed before any other type of currency exchange happens.
You know, essentially, it sounds like clarity is an outward reflection of the inner value.
Dang, that's good. I'm going to tweet that. That's brilliant. I love it.
If it's an outer reflection, would you agree that it has to be within first before it can be reflected externally?
Absolutely. And where the gap happens many times is where lack of confidence shows up. So in other words, I don't buy this thing where people say, you know, just look in the mirror and tell yourself you're good because confidence will come. No, confidence comes when the external reflects the internal. And when people see that alignment, they say, oh my gosh, that person's really confident. They can deliver results. But until that happens, there's a gap. And let's face it, when we're all brand new, when we're all just starting, when we've never had clients, when we've never whatever, written a book or spoke on stage or something like that, there is this gap. There's this unproven ground. And many people blow themselves up because of it. They say, well, I'm not there yet. You know, this is why, guess what? This is why way back in the day with American Idol, Simon would ask one question more than any other question that he ever asked. And you got to think, this guy's pretty smart. I believe I did the research not too long ago. I think in 1 year he made $70 million. The guy knows value, but he would ask one question to the contestants. He said, what makes you think you're the next American Idol? I love that question. It's open-ended, and it gives Simon the quickest read, because he's got a lot of contestants, the quickest read on how they perceive themselves. Because here's what. If they say, well, I got a bunch of CDs out. Well, my mom says I'm really good. Well, I'm the leader of my band. All those statements say, you know what? I don't believe my stuff yet. Other people tell me I'm good. But when someone stood up and said, you know what, Simon, because this is exactly why I was put on this earth. I was put on this earth to give my gift to the world, which is through my voice. Now Simon says, whoa, I want to hear what they're going to sing. They got to be good. So don't mistake me, Kirk, that you have to bring up the competence with the confidence. But the series goes like this: clarity, competence, confidence. Now people are beginning to be influenced, then you can impact them, then you get income. We call this the deeper path payoff. It's in one of my books, but it goes clarity, competence, confidence, influence, impact, income. Income is the sixth step that has to fall as a result of the first five.
Well, and it's the first three C's that really I wanted to dive deep into the first part of this interview. And we've talked about clarity, but you can't talk about clarity without confidence or confidence coming up. But let's back up. Can you define both of those so that we have a good understanding of those three?
You're asking me to define competence and confidence. Is that correct?
Yes.
Excellent. So competence is the skill set that you achieve and you bring to the relationship. So when someone is told that they're incompetent, that means that for that particular issue, they don't have a skill set. But when someone does, when they're told, no, man, you are so competent when it comes to sales or when it comes to dealing with people, what they're saying is you have a mastery of a skill set that's needed. The cool thing is you can have clarity knowing where you're going, competence knowing that you're good, but you can still lack confidence. I see this all the time, and maybe you do too, Kirk, where people say, well, I'm not that good. I mean, you know, I really don't think I can do that. Kind of like what we just talked about, Kirk, that the internal and external don't match. And when you are false humble, we call it, you know, false humility, or when you just, quite frankly, don't believe you have the skill set, you lack confidence. And I don't care if you know exactly where to go and you have all the skills in the world, if you don't think that you can deliver on the results, people don't buy into you. And when they don't buy into you, they don't pay you. So you need all three.
Yeah, it almost sounds like a circle.
I love it.
And I don't know that you can start with one of those. It seems like you kind of have to work on all three together, right?
I think so, but I always say that it starts with clarity. Because can I lead you through a really cool quick exercise?
Let's do it.
I call this the drive-through drill. The drive-through drill. And the funny thing is that, you know, I want all your listeners, your wonderful listeners, to think about themselves as a fast food drive-through restaurant for a moment. Because this is what happens at these conferences. This is what happened when you and I met. This is what happens at networking events. People come up to you and they say, oh, you know, I've heard about you. My friend told me about you. They told me I should work with you. They told me you could really help me. So tell me, what do you do again? What they're really doing is they're coming up to your drive-thru restaurant, the drive-thru drill, and they're asking you what you serve. Now, if it takes you 35 minutes to tell people what you do, confusion repels, clarity attracts. So if you sit there for 35 minutes and you say, well, you know, I kind of help people. You know, people come to me and you give them this complex answer and oh my gosh, it's crazy. People are going to drive away from your drive-thru restaurant because they're not going to engage you in an exchange of finances because you're not being clear. So instead, what I encourage people to do is I encourage people to have their VPS, their value proposition statement. And they don't need to just rifle it off all canned or anything, but I kind of view your VPS as an iceberg. And what do I mean by that? That means that people only see the tip of the iceberg and then they ask for more. So Kirk, if we met and you said, hey Kerry, I've heard about you. My friends told me about you. What do you do? I ignite souls, Kirk. Oh, that sounds interesting. Well, how do you do that? See, and what they've done is now they're leaning in, and it's easier to kiss when someone's leaning in.
It's a lot more fun, too.
There you go. So, in other words, kissing is the sale, if you will. And I know we're using a little bit of crazy metaphors here today, but you can imagine, Kirk, if people drive up through to a literal drive-through restaurant, and they say, "Oh, my friends told me all about this restaurant. I am so excited to be here. Hey, what do you guys serve?" Well, you know, we're not really sure what we serve. Well, how much does your food cost? We're not sure. The lack of clarity repels people. So I think it always starts with clarity. Then it leads to competence. Oh, I am clear, so I know what I'm good at. And then it leads to confidence, believing your own story, believing you have something to give. Then people lean in, want to be influenced by you. We call it pay attention. Very interesting. It's a currency word. Today's currency isn't money first, it's attention, pay attention. They begin to be influenced by you and then impacted, and then the income is exchanged.
You know, it's interesting listening to you explain that, because I guess when I first was thinking about these three words, I'm like, well, how can you have clarity without confidence? But I hear what you're saying. Clarity leads to confidence.
Exactly. I mean, I've used my torn labrum as an example to describe this in the past. And people say, what? Well, let me tell you what. I'm a writer as part of what I do. You mentioned I've coached 50 authors, and that's true. I've coached a lot more people than that, but on their book projects, about 50. But let me tell you what. I like my arm. I need my arm to do my work. So when the doctor said to me, Carrie, we know you've never had surgery in your life. We're going to have to put you under, and we're going to have to go in and sew up this thing called a labrum, and we're going to put in there some crazy sutures and all kinds of weird stuff that I don't even know. My first question, Kirk, was, really? You're going to put me under? And so I started to take thin slicing, you know, Malcolm Gladwell type language here, but I began to thin slice this guy's confidence level. And his name's Dr. Latshaw. So I said, hey, Dr. Latshaw, I get it. Okay, I get it. You want me to pay you to put me under and to cut my shoulder open. Income, in other words. So I said, all right, tell me, what are you going to do exactly? Boom, he delivered clarity. He told me exactly what he's going to do. Then I said, okay, how good are you? I mean, I just straight up asked him. I said, how good are you? How many of these have you done? And some people are saying, wow, you're a control freak, dude. But I'm telling you, this is important. If he messes up my shoulder, there's no more books. Does this make sense, Kirk?
Exactly. I mean, you're leading through kind of progression, how one leads to the next, leads to the next. And with a doctor,
yes,
nobody would let somebody operate if they don't have all three.
Exactly. And so he said clarity. Then he said competence. And absolutely, he had it. I went online, found out all these journals he wrote, all these surgeries, all these awards. So boom, the competence is there. Then I said, yeah, but you just said mine is really bad. What's the percentage that you think you can really make this sweet? And he said, Carrie, we got this thing. Boom, confidence. Then I said, okay, I'm willing to make this happen. In other words, influence. And I'm going to let you impact me, i.e. your laser or your sword or whatever he does. And then I paid him money, income. So it exactly went through those six steps.
Well, and you're right. There are six steps. I guess one of the reasons I want to focus so much on the first three on this first part of the conversation is you can't get to the last three until you deal with these first three. And like we talked about at the very top of the show, when you talked about the most important thing about pricing, it came back to these three things. It's this internal view, this internal perspective that's then reflected externally.
Oh, yeah. And I got a crazy story that's true, if it helps your listeners, because I tell you what, Kirk, I was a guy who thought I had zero to add to the business community because I went to seminary and I got a master's and a doctorate in theology-ish type subjects. You talk about someone who didn't think he could offer the business world anything. It was me, and that shifted, and I can tell it with a really quick story if you want.
Yeah, we love crazy stories.
True story. I walked into a very prestigious business person's conference as an attendee, and I was so underdressed. I was so out of my league. I've never taken a business class to this day in my life. I've never taken a sales class in my life to this day. But large businesses are hiring me today to consult on business and sales. So don't hear me wrong saying that I don't have any skills. I have tons of skills now, but back then, zero clue. So here's the problem. I thought I was out of my league, and I was focused on me. See, this is another thing, Kirk. When your listeners can focus on the client, I call it show up, filled up. Show up, filled up. It means you don't have any emptiness in your cup where you're trying to get from these other people, am I good? Do I have value? Feed my ego. Give me some compliments. People feel that in the business exchange. And if you come with your cup empty, you're not a giver. Your attention's on yourself. So thank God he had me sit at a table that day for breakfast before the business meeting started, where everyone was talking about books. And I thought, wow, this is interesting. These people don't know about books. Well, I know about books. And that's another clear sign, Kirk. most people don't know what they can give others because they're too good at it. It's too easy. They think everyone knows it. Has this ever happened to you, by the way?
Certainly.
Yeah. You know, you think, oh my gosh, everyone can do what I do. And very few people, Kirk, can do what you do because you're amazing at it. But to you, it's easy. So you think, well, you know, why would people pay me? This is easy. You're too good at it. So I'm sitting there at this table and people are saying, yeah, I don't know how to do books and where do you start and how do you get agents? And I'm so frustrated. I've tried this and that. So I sat there, showed up, filled up, and I just began to ask clarifying questions. I didn't say, well, let me tell you the answers. I said, well, have you thought about the fact that if you do get an agent, they'll get you a book contract, but they're going to take 15%. Are you okay with that? And I began to ask these questions, and eventually after about 10 minutes, they said, where are you getting all this stuff, man? I mean, seriously, where are you getting all this stuff? And I said, well, I've actually written a few books. And they're like, really? Do you have them? And I did have them that day in my briefcase. So I said, well, here's a few. And you would have thought I pulled out the Holy Grail because these people wanted to write books they just never had. So for the next few minutes, I began just to help these people and ask them about their table of contents and what their title is and what their subtitle is. So what happened, Kirk, is at the lunch break later on that day, people began to say, oh, you need books? You need to talk to Carrie. Go over, talk to this guy. He's done all these books. Boom, 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 boom. So what I did, Kirk, that night is instead of go to the party, I went to my hotel room and created a one sheet. And a one sheet, we can talk about that in a little bit if you want, but a one sheet is just who, what, when, where, why, and how for a future product. And I said, I am just going to create the answers to the one sheet on one page. So if someone comes up to me tomorrow and asks how can they work with me, kind of like that drive-through drill, I have an answer. So I did who, and I said, potential authors. What, author coaching program. When, I don't know, and I picked a date. Where, online. How, coaching calls in a guidebook. How much, you know, $9.97, whatever. No joke, Kirk, that next day I went down to the business seminar and people from the day before, two of them came up to me and said, you know what, I've been thinking all night about this book. I want to hire you. Do you have a program and how much do you charge? And right there, Kirk, I marketed before I manufactured. That's something that I teach. I just said, I absolutely have a program. It's called Author Coaching Program. It's $9.97. Here's what you get. And I walked away that day with two people paid in full.
I love that story. And, you know, this is one of the funnest interviews I've done recently because literally almost everything that I wanted to discuss with you, it's already coming up just because it's flowing out of you. And that's so much fun. And so we've kind of spent some time here talking about, you know, these three things. And I love the example you just gave, you know, and you were very generous. You shared that story when you spoke in San Diego, but this idea of how when you saw the opportunity, you heard people asking questions because you had clarity on what you do, which led to confidence in that you can do it, which then led to confidence, you were ready to then take the next three steps. And you did it right there.
Totally. You know, I did not share this with you yet, Kirk. True, true story. In fact, I'm going to give the gal's website so people can see this is 100% legit. That same conference you and I were at, remember this, San Diego a few weeks ago?
Yep.
I'm sitting on a plane back from that conference. I remember, weren't we at the airport together that morning?
Yes, bright and early.
I mean, it was so early, I can't even remember if I was up, but yeah, exactly. So I board the plane, and I sit God's providence next to this lady, and I got my headphones in, man. I am crushing it. I got a project to do. I am not focused on the lady next to me. Forgive me, but she seems like a talker, and she was talking to the lady next to me. And I loved what she was saying, but I had a deadline. So I am zeroed in. But I got to use the bathroom, you know, because I bought a smoothie that morning. So I get up, use the bathroom, and sure enough, I sit back down and she says, oh, where are you going to? And she engages me. Because we only had an hour left on the flight, no joke, Kirk, it came up that I did books. And she said, oh, wow, I am just coming back from a conference myself where I gave a session, but I so want to write a book. And I said, well, I help authors write a book. Now, here's the big teaching point. I didn't say, here's my program. It's called AuthorAcademyElite.com. And you go there and it's $5,000 and you should buy it. And, you know, it's amazing and, you know, whatever, features, benefits, blah, blah, blah. No, I absolutely didn't say that. I said, I work with authors. And I said, what seems to be the problem? How are you stuck? And she said, oh, I don't know what my book would be about. I try to write a table of contents. I get stuck all the time. And here's what I did. I call it the Jimmy Dean sausage strategy. Okay. I'll teach you it here in a moment, Kirk. But what I did is I said, look, we got an hour left. I'm going to fold up my computer. And why don't we make it happen? And she said, you would do that? I said, absolutely. So I said, we only got an hour though. So if you get off topic, can I interrupt? And she said, absolutely. Cause I knew she was a talker. She's the best girl in the world, whatever. Her website's mindsonmath.com. Mindsonmath.com. Her name's Jonalee. Fantastic lady. Awesome. Doing great things. For the next hour, Kirk, I help her flesh out her entire book. Table of contents, title, subtitle. Because this is what I do. When we landed, I didn't say, hey, that'll be X amount of dollars. Or, hey, do you want to take it to the next level and publish with me? I didn't do any of that. She just said, thank you so much. This is fantastic. Can I have your card? See, leaning in. I said, sure. That night she Googles me. She emails me back and says, absolute thank you. And then what I did is I said, hey, you know, if you want to take this to the next level, let me know. She responded back, absolutely. I gave her a free webinar that I did. And that less than 24 hours after we got off the plane, she sent me $5,000. Just like that. Just like that, because I went through the whole sequence, clarity, competence, confidence, influence, impact, income. I did the Jimmy Dean sausage strategy, which is give people a taste. Don't tell them about what it would be like to work with you. Don't tell them the features and benefits of your program. Show them. Give it to them. So for that hour, I essentially treated her like a client, gave my absolute best value, whether she took it or not, whether, quote, I got ripped off and gave her my best thinking. No, I didn't worry about any of that. You got to be an abundance-minded person. And isn't that a crazy story, Kirk, that the whole trip and more was paid for by sitting on that plane with that lady?
Yeah, I was going to say, that covered your plane ride and then some. You could have been in first class and still had profit.
That's right. That's right. But this is the stuff that so many people don't think about because they have that scarcity mindset. And trust me, I used to have that. Where, look, finish the statement. The early bird gets the
worm.
Exactly. This is what we were taught as young kids. The early bird gets the worm. Now, in that story, think about it. How many worms are there?
There's plenty, as many as you can dig up.
Yeah, exactly. But in that little childhood story, the early bird gets the worm. In other words, that's scarcity. There's one worm in that story, and there's us, who's hopefully the early bird, and who are we in competition with? Every other bird out there. That is, again, I'm being silly here, but that is horrible thinking. The early bird gets the worm. You're right, Kirk. There are a million worms out there, and not everyone out there is competitive. Let's be collaborative. Look at what you're doing for me. You're inviting me on your show. I get to add value to your listeners, and you're promoting what I'm doing. That's collaborative. And you bet when the episode comes out, I'm going to send my traffic and say, go listen to Kirk. He's got a great podcast, and you should review it on iTunes. And look, we're being collaborative. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. I mean, there's so much wisdom in what you're saying. I mean, I've just got to unpack two or three things that are crossing my mind. The first thing you said, you know, and it didn't even occur to me, and I listened to you say it, but the idea of the worm, language matters. The words we choose, the words we use matter. And you just called me out on something I never thought about before. One thing that, you know, that I am aware of is, you know, one of the things that we do so much is we thank people for their time, which time has no value in and of itself. It's the knowledge, the experience, the result that comes out of it. And so, again, kind of along this same line, I've tried to train myself not to say thank you for your time.
Interesting.
So it's that same kind of thing. Language matters. And when you realize what you're saying, I doubt I will ever say the early bird gets the worm again. In fact, I may just drop that from my vocabulary because now you called me out on it.
And unpack that again for me about thank you for your time. Help me understand that, because that was deep, and I want to make sure I don't miss it. Help me understand that.
Sure. So basically, this comes out of an hourly billing model, which so many service professionals use. Who says what an hour is worth? Okay, what it's really worth is whatever the result that the customer achieves. And there's been situations where it took me 5 minutes to create $5,000 worth of value for somebody. And there's other times where I spent a day on it and it wasn't even worth $50. So it's that idea. The time is worthless. Now, I'm not saying time's not valuable in the sense that it's a limited resource. You should use it well, but you can't put a dollar amount on it. It's the result that has the dollar amount.
I like that. That is fantastic. Well, see, we're sparring here. Now I'm learning things. So fantastic.
Well, this is fun. So I want to go back and pick up a couple other things that you mentioned. So, you talked about a one sheet, and you gave the example of doing that at the conference when, you know, you were sitting at a table and people started asking about books, and you literally went to your room that night and wrote a one sheet. What is a one sheet, and how can somebody do one?
Number one, if you want, because I get asked this question a lot, I will absolutely give your clients, your listeners, an example of a one sheet. And the funniest thing in the world is the example I'm giving. Yes, we did sell a product with it, but we found out, and this is the beauty of awareness, that program no longer exists now. That program is called something else. And so one of the things I really teach people to do is take action. It's never going to be polished perfect. Don't wait for it. Take action. Move. And as you go, clarity comes. As you act, not as you think and sit in a room and just think. Take action. So the one sheet we did was called the Deeper Path Fellowship. Today it's called the Igniting Souls Fellowship. It's something totally different today. It's a sales funnel that is locally here in Columbus, Ohio. It's one of our biggest business builders where we do a free value for people, a try before you buy, a Jimmy Dean sausage strategy. But back then, a one sheet for that program was, we literally said, who would the Igniting Souls Fellowship be for? And we said this would absolutely be for our current clients that want to take one of our products called the Deeper Path to the next level. So it's like, who? An advanced course for our current alumni. Excellent. What? And then we just broke down into what this would be. And what we did, I think, if I'm not mistaken, we used an acrostic or acronym, whatever you say, a C-A-R-E, connection, C, A, accountability, R, relationships, and E, events, or something like that. But anyways, with the one sheet, you're not saying all the value. You're totally not. You're saying the one sheet is just enough information to get people interested to lean in and then ask for more. So who, what, when are you going to do this? Never say TBA. Oh my gosh, that's like the kiss of death. If you're ever creating a program, you never say to be announced or, you know, coming. Come on now. Why? Because that's confusion. People don't say TBA. I mean, what, is the man on the moon TBA? You know, come on now. Is Apple launch TBA? People want to know a date, and even if you miss the date, you still put it out there because clarity attracts. And until you put your foot in the sand, whatever, I'm mixing metaphors, your stake in the ground, whatever, you haven't yet committed. And people don't want to commit to you if you haven't committed to it. So who, what, when, where, why, big, Simon Sinek, start with why. I mean, we get the whole thing. But, and then how. How? And how could be how much? How could be, what is the, is it virtual? Is it physical? All these details. But I'm telling you, I have built crazy big brands with a one sheet. And that's how we build Author Academy Elite. Anytime I build anything, I get a who, what, when, where, why, how one sheet. And it forces me to clarify my thinking. And I have sold six figures in 72 hours with programs that have not even been built. And then you got to have the discipline, the ethics. I call it the risk reversal guarantee. Do you know about guarantees, Kirk?
Oh, yeah. I tell people, I say, you offer a guarantee on your work whether you want to or not. It's just whether you do it up front. and use it as an advantage, or you do it afterwards, it's called a lawsuit.
I like that. That's good. Yeah. So we do a risk reversal guarantee where there's three types of guarantees according to Jay Abram. One is the limited time guarantee or limited guarantee, which basically says, you know, you can get a refund, but it's got to be quick and it's limited and you got to, you know, give your DNA and receipt. And these are like Best Buy type things where it's crazy tough to get a refund. Then there's extended warranty or extended guarantee. These are like Lowe's, Home Depot that say, hey, buy the dishwasher, buy the stove, put it in your house for 90 days. See if you like it. And if you don't, we'll come pick it up, no charge to you. And then there's the risk reversal guarantee, like Zappos shoes, that says, hey, buy our shoes, try them on, wear them for a year inside. And if you don't like them, send them back. We'll pay for shipping. If you buy them on leap year, we'll give you 4 years. I mean, think about that. That's crazy. As long as they're you know, in good condition. But then check it out. Tony Hesch of Zappos Shoes, he even says, we're going to do a risk reversal guarantee on our employee training, where if you go through this employee training and you decide that you don't want to work with us, we'll pay you $8,000 so that you don't work with us. In other words, we believe so much in our company and our employees and our employee training that if you go through this training and you want $8,000 instead of working for us, take it and leave because we don't want you. Isn't that crazy?
Well, and that number's gone up because I think the number I'd heard was 5 or 6. And so it's gone up to 8. But yeah, exactly. And, you know, the other thing I've heard about that is what they're really trying to do is weed out people who don't really want to be there or who shouldn't be there. If you are not, if you haven't bought in, if you don't have clarity, competence, and confidence to be there, get out.
Exactly. And the reason why is because according to the book Top Grading, people know that mishires cost a company minimum 3 times their annual salary, maximum in higher positions 15 times. So this is the book Top Grading. They've done all the research. They've cited the companies, but they know that if you hire the wrong person and you spend all the money on training them, getting them in there, they are going to suck the life out of your company and cost you in opportunity cost and salary and benefits 3 times minimum the annual salary. So yeah, absolutely. Why not pay somebody $8,000 to quit before they're started?
So basically, Zappos realizes that there's more value in getting the wrong person out the door early than there is in keeping them around later.
Fantastic. And, you know, people come from different backgrounds. I come from a faith background where, hey, my favorite teacher, Jesus, he had people saying, hey, pick me. I'll be a disciple. I'll follow you. And Jesus called them out before they started. Some of them. And he said, one guy was like, hey, let me bury my father and mother first. And he said, let the dead bury the dead. And another guy said, oh, I'll follow you wherever you go. And he said, foxes have holes to go in, birds have nests, and I don't have anywhere to lay my head. In other words, don't come and be part of my group if you're not willing to pay the price. And he got them out before they started as well.
Yeah, we share our faith, and along with our mutual friend Ray Edwards, Ray and I did an episode a few shows back on a biblical view of creating value. So if anybody's interested in that, go check that episode out.
Fantastic.
So one sheet sounds like a tactical approach to the bigger idea of market before you manufacture. So can you unpack that and tie those two together?
Absolutely. So market before you manufacture is a philosophy. It's a mindset. It is Lean Startup called it MVP, minimum viable product. The worst thing in the world when you're starting a business, at least according to my experience, is sit in a room, get all kinds of market research, market analysis, surveys, build prototypes, do campaigns, I mean, money, 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 time, 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 and then launch it. Now, I understand certain medicines need that, okay? There's certain industries, so please hear me out. Yeah, there's definitely certain industries where you need that. Fast food, trying new salads, you want to go through that. You know, I understand. But I'm talking about a lot of this internet space, a lot of this thought leader, a lot of this content creation space. You do not want to go and spend eons of time and thousands and tens of thousands and millions sometimes of dollars to go manufacture and then think about marketing. Every time you sit in a movie, Kirk, what do they show before the main feature?
Previews.
Previews. We call these previews. We call these trailers. Think about it. What they're doing is they're selling to you before they've manufactured. They're marketing before they've manufactured. Some of these movie trailers are not even close to being done. They're being shown to you a year before. They still have to do the score, all the music. They still have to do final cuts. They have to do all kinds of scenes that aren't even filmed yet, and they're already selling it to you. This is the same thing that happened with traditional publishing. Sometimes my books are being sold on Amazon, and I have the manuscript in my hand still, and it hasn't even gone through the first round of edits, and Amazon's already collecting money on the book. And I'm like, whoa, hold on here. I got to finish this book first. So it's totally, I had to pay for Disney in full before I stepped foot on the premises. This is not that rare, but it's a mindset. The one sheet is just the vehicle to get the thinking, your best thinking on paper.
Right. And so if you have the philosophy of market before you manufacture, then sitting down to do a one sheet with the idea if you go to a hotel room and spend 60, 120 minutes and flush it out, the next day you're going to be able to sell something that doesn't exist.
Absolutely. I have a friend who said, you know what? Oh, wow. I'm being asked to speak on stage. I had not planned for it. Well, tell me who's in the audience. Oh, they're these types of people. Okay. Well, do I have your permission to sell to them a program? And the person said, absolutely. We're bringing you in. We're not paying you, so you can totally sell. He sold from the stage, and he said, look, folks, I've been told that this is your problem. I have a solution, and we are going to launch this thing in 30 days, and we are going to sell it for X amount. But for you here today, if you purchase it, you know what? You're going to be the first in people, and it's at half price. And if you want in, I only have 15 spots, and I'll be in the back, and then you just give them total value for your talk, value, value, value. And people say, he's given us all this, she's given us all this. For free? Oh my gosh, what about the programming back? This thing's got to be worth more. Guess what? If 15 people come back, excellent. You now go with marching orders to create the product in 30 days. If no one comes back, you say, oh, guess there wasn't an interest. If 5 people come back, that's when I love it, Kirk. Should I tell you why?
Please do. You've got me on pins and needles.
Because let's face it, all in is fantastic. None in is fantastic. What if you get 5, which happens all the time to me? I collected their money. And as a result, I now get crazy Navy SEALs-ish about filling the other 10 spots. And I just suddenly go crazy. And everyone I see, I give them value. I give them value. And then I say, look, I got this program. I got only 10 spots left. And the whole, well, what if they reject you? I don't care now because I don't want to disappoint 5 paying customers. So now I go, the toughest thing is the first sale. But I have literally sold programs where one person bought. True story. You ready for this? This is crazy, man.
Go for it.
Can't believe I'm sharing this. I had a mastermind last year. And hey, I had one event where I thought at that event, a lot of people would have filled the mastermind. Instead, they jumped into another program. And only 2 people bought the mastermind. And I'm like, 2 people? I can't run a mastermind with 2 people. They all bought this other program. Well, now I either have to refund these people, which isn't happening, or I need to go crazy and fill it with 10 more. I went out, man, and I did webinars, and I hand-selected people and invited them. I ended up with 11. We had to add one more spot. Here's the point. When you get your first sale, when all your listeners hear this, when you get your first sale, that's somebody saying, I believe in you. And that's the only shot that I think a lot of us need to then get all the other sales that we need.
Well, and you've heard that cliche, and you know it's true because we've talked about it in other language. The hardest sale is the first sale, and I would argue the first sale is to yourself.
Tweetable. That's 2 now. No, that is absolutely 100% accurate. I love it.
we've given people a lot of knowledge about how to get the first sale, and now you're talking about how do you get the second sale. And if you get that second sale, then all you got to go out and do is, you know, three through whatever. I just wanted to piggyback on something you said a minute ago because it resonated so well. So one of the things that surprises people when I talk about value pricing is I tell them that I get paid 100% up front for five-figure projects 70% of the time, and that blows them away. And it's exactly the same reason you talked about you want to do the one sheet, go sell five of them so that now the pressure's on you to deliver. That's one of the benefits of getting paid up front. I will serve a customer better if I've already been paid, because for me, there is an integrity issue to deliver. Not that I don't have integrity if I hadn't been paid or if I've only been paid partial, but if I've been paid 100%, I want to deliver.
It's true, man. Absolutely true. I love it.
Well, just another thing that I wanted to come back to, again, the language thing. You mentioned, and it's a great example, I'm going to steal it from you and I'll give you credit, but the whole idea of the question Simon asked, you know what they ask now? It's not that same question. They think it's the same question, but it's not. They say, are you the next American Idol?
Which is totally different.
That's right. It's a totally different question.
Yeah. One is a open-ended, I call it a mirror. You know, Simon's question was a mirror, which says, I'm going to hold up to you a mirror and you tell me what you see. What makes you think you're the next American Idol? The other one, are you the next American Idol? Duh. What are they going to say? No, I'm not. I mean, why are you auditioning then? You know, it takes no pulse of these people's belief.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, there's free pizza and popcorn.
That's right. That's good.
Oh, Kerry, this has been so much fun, but I do need to draw it to a close to respect our audience and ourselves. Let me get to our last question. But man, I just want to say you have brought it so much. This has been awesome. But to get to our last question, what is one of the best stories about creating value that you can share?
All right. There was a time where I was early on in my career and I left a very comfortable job. I'm not saying it was paying huge, huge, but it was safe. It was comfortable. I had every need cared for, and it was safe. And I remember there was a time where there was a little bit of pressure financially when I went off on my own, and I thought, are we going to have to cash in like stuff? Am I going to have to sell blood? No, I'm kidding. But, you know, it was the pressure. And I went down and met with the clients that I had previously, and I went down realizing I need to come back with a contract. Absolutely. I totally need to come back with a contract. So I went down there and I showed up, filled up, and I listened those entire 48 hours to everything this client was saying. And I just studied the dude. And when I came back, I absolutely wrote this into a proposal. And I said, I think that you need these products and services, and here's how it's going to help your business. And if you don't have it, here's what's going to be the cost and the liability. And I put that proposal to him, dated it. You got to date things, man. This proposal expires X date, and trust me, it was a short turnaround. And the client said, absolutely. And I said, fantastic. First payment is due here. You can pay it in installments. And I like that. It's almost like poker. I don't play poker, but it's almost like you're betting. First of all, in my book, we have a great provider. His name is God. And so I don't worry. I don't stress. But I do take massive action. I don't sit around and wait for the sky to open. And this was one of those things where back's against the wall. And it needed to happen. And praise God it did.
That's awesome. And I love the fact how you created awesome value in that situation, but it is because you took action. And I would add, you don't create value out of thin air. It's because you put chisel to stone, so to speak.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Well, Kerry, we have just scratched the surface. And so I want to come back and give the audience a direct place they can go to get more information. Now, I want to talk about where you are online in a second, but the concepts we talked about, these are in your book, Day Job to Dream Job. Is that correct?
Yeah, Day Job to Dream Job. A lot of the stuff that we talked about is in there. Kind of the three big books that I have are Your Secret Name, which deals a lot with the identity piece that we talked about, where you got to believe in yourself. The deeper path where the whole clarity, competence, confidence, influence, impact, income, that's from there. And a lot of this going pro, turning your passion into your full-time gig, marketing before you manufacture, is from day job to dream job.
So basically, if you're interested in the first half of the conversation, go get the deeper path. If you're interested in the second half of the conversation, go get day job to dream job. And if you realize how great Kerry is, go buy everything he's got on Amazon. All right, man. Where do you want people to find you online?
So I would absolutely be honored if people want to take a free customized assessment that it's called the Igniting Souls Assessment. And we have had thousands and thousands of people take this because, look, the most powerful weapon on earth is the human soul on fire. And when we are discouraged or disoriented or disengaged from our lives, that there's a major cost. In fact, Carl Jung said that the most damaging thing in the life of a child is the unlived life of the parent who's not fully alive. And so I take it a huge, serious mandate to help people become souls on fire. CarrieOberbrunner.com, scroll to the bottom, take the free assessment, and we even have some free training that is customized based on your answers.
Kerry, thank you for bringing yourself, your wisdom, and all the things that you've offered the audience today. It has been a thrill to interview you, and I look forward to getting to hang out with you again, hopefully sooner rather than later.
Thanks for all you're doing, Kirk. And hey, I have a new favorite podcast to recommend. So thanks so much, man.
One of the things that I learned from this interview is that collecting 100% of the money up front, whether you're selling a product or a service, is the same as marketing before you manufacture. It communicates clarity, competence, and confidence to the customer. As I mentioned in the interview, I collect 100% of the money up front on 70% of my custom development projects. Think about that and whether you are ready to implement that in your business. You can find the show notes for this episode by going to artofvalue.com/45. You can also leave a rating review for us in iTunes by going to artofvalue.com/iTunes. My guest on the next show will be Lee Cockrell. Lee is the former chief operating officer of Walt Disney World in Orlando, Florida. Until then, go create more value.
artofvalue.com.